Here's a situation that happened in Los Angeles recently. I don't know if any of you heard the news on it, but we have the Occupy Wall Street people want to be occupying Los Angeles now. They're down here in the parks in Los Angeles, taking up the park and demonstrating. And regardless of your political persuasion, you have to, here's what happened. Now, our attorney here, our mayor here in Los Angeles is Mr. Villagrosa. And Antonio Villagrosa. And he went down to address them. Now they're in a park down here in Los Angeles, and he went down to talk to these people. He complimented them greatly. What a wonderful job they're doing! How they have called attention to the corruption on Wall Street, and how they have brought America to understand this, and how good they've done. And, how they should be complimented. And he complimented them and praised them for their bravery, for their gallantry, for their dedication, and all that. And then he said, but, we have to still abide by some laws. And there are a couple of laws that we have not abided by. And they are that we have to clean up the parks, and that we have to have a certain amount of sanitation, and that we want to do this. So we have to clean up the parks. And in order to do so, we're going to ask all of you to leave no later than Monday morning at 12 a.m., which would be Sunday night, midnight. Sunday night, midnight will be Monday morning, 12 a.m. And he's asking them to be out of the park by 12, by midnight, Sunday night. And he was pleading with them, and we're going to clean up the park. He says, it's good for you to be gone because it's sanitary. It's sanitary. Well, we're going to be protecting you, and it will be protecting our citizens as well. So he is praising them and being nice. All of a sudden, somebody had a loudspeaker and a microphone, and they hear this voice interrupting him saying, we reject your statements. We reject your offer. We are staying here, and you're not going to make us leave. So now Villagrosa doesn't know what to do. He is now, and it appears that they want some kind of confrontation. They want the police there so they can get more in the news, and they can get the police in the news. They go to a place, for instance, they went to UC Davis, I believe, University of California, Davis, and they went onto that campus, and they took positions, and they occupied it. Now, in occupying it, they decided that, they're not going to leave. They're disrupting the campus. They're getting a building. So the police came, the campus police, and they, you see the famous picture. I suppose some of you saw on the news the famous picture of them spraying them with pepper spray. Now, what people don't know is that they were warned ahead of time, if you do not move, we're asking you to move, we're asking you politely, we're explaining to you, if you do not move, we are going to spray you with pepper spray. So we're asking you, please leave the campus, get up and move away. They did not. Actually, the truth is, some of them did. The first rows got up and left. And then the following rows did not. I mean, there were people who came in who were hardcore. They said, we're not leaving. Now, they told them, we're going to spray you. Please move. Because if you don't move, we are going to spray you with pepper spray. Well, they didn't move. And they got sprayed with the pepper spray. Of course, everybody, oh, this is terrible. This is awful. Look what you're doing to these poor people just sitting there, and you're spraying them. Look at this policeman spraying them. It's as though there was no heart. Now, how do you move these people? And they thought it would be better to move them, to get, you know, spray something on them to get them to move than to have to go in and pick them up. Because if the police do that and grab you and pick you up and then you start fighting, then the police have to use more force. Now, I don't know if most people in the United States know this, but when a policeman gives you an order, you're really supposed to obey it. You know, that's the law. The policemen have power. They have power to arrest you. They have power to enforce you. If a policeman comes up and shines, you know, you're speeding and a policeman puts a light on, you're supposed to stop. And if you do not, the policeman has the power to take increased authority and increased stronger methods of power to break you, bring you to a stop, even including barricades or these strips that rip up your tires and things like that, or doing what they call the, I think they call the pit maneuver, where they come up and they flip your car and, you know, try to move it around and turn it a different direction and make you crash into a sidewall or something like that. They have the power to do that. You're supposed to stop. Here are these people on somebody else's property in parks that are paid for by tax citizens of the city, to be used by citizenry of the city who occupy the city and pay the taxes there. These people, some of them come from out of town, out of state, into the city, occupy it, and refuse to leave. And then they are just doing their bathroom habits all over the park and clogging up the toilets and using the restrooms and overdoing it and, defecating on the lawns and everything. And it's unsanitary. Now, nobody is, you know, trying to hurt them. We're just asking, please do this for us. And they don't. Now, if you go in and grab them or pepper spray them, all of a sudden, there are people who want to sue, make a lawsuit. I don't think they'll get anywhere with the UC Davis campus, because they went way out of their way to warn these people. They asked them, they pleaded with them to leave. They would not. So, you know, if you do something like that, and we tell you we're going to spray you if you stay here, you know, sort of like the old Amish farmer to the burglar that came in his house. He said, you know, sir, I mean thee no harm. But he had the shotgun in his hand. But I mean thee no harm, but I am about to shoot where thou art standing. So please move away. So that's what they're saying. And here's the other thing that sometimes is troubling. People come into the country illegally, and I'm you know, I don't despise or hate or anything people who do that. I mean, I know clients who have come in some years ago illegally, and they got amnesty under President Reagan, and they're still here. Many are good people who come in. However, many of them, the states are saying, you know, we can't afford any more welfare. We're clogging up the schools, clogging up the welfare. And we don't know who all is in. We obviously like good people, but we don't like bad people, and we don't like people just coming in and breaking the laws to get in. Now, here's a state like Arizona, and here's one like Alabama that want to pass laws saying, you know, we think we have a right to ask you for your citizenship. You know, where are you illegal before we put you in welfare, or before we give you this, or before we do that? And now there are people saying, no, you don't have a right to do that. And if you do, the Attorney General of the United States will sue your state. And, you know, you pass that law, the government now is suing you. So here's the situation. It appears that somebody can break the law. You try to enforce it. You're bad for enforcing it. They're not bad for breaking it. You're bad for enforcing it. And it reminds me of this passage in the book of Isaiah. I want to read Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Woe to those who drag iniquity with cords of falsehood, and sin as if with cart ropes. They drag iniquity and sin, and it is pulling it along in a cart. Who say, let him make speed, Let him, meaning God, hasten his work that we may see it. Let's see if God's around. And let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come to pass that we may know it. Let's see if God is around. Let's see God's purposes. I mean, after all, we don't see anything about God doing anything. And then he says, woe to those, in verse 20, who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. That's how it reads it. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink. You know, the only bravery they have is when they're drunk. Who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the righteous ones who are in the right. They take away the rights of the righteous ones who are in the right. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes stubble and dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot and their blossoms blow away as the dust. For they have rejected the law of the Eternal of Hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. On this account, the anger of the Eternal has burned against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them and struck them down. So here's Isaiah chapter 5. Listen to this verse 20 again in different translations. Here's the Common English Bible. Doom to those who call evil good and good evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. And you know, there are people who just kind of fall for it. You could tell them that something is evil when it's good, something is good when it's evil, and they believe it. They just fall for it. They just accept it. Listen to this one in the Common Jewish Bible, or the Complete Jewish Bible. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who change darkness into light. You see, they actually change the darkness into light and light into darkness. They change it in your mind, who change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Can you really make darkness light and light darkness? Can you really do that? No, you can't really change darkness into light or light into darkness. Whenever you turn the light on, that's light. Whenever you have darkness, that's darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. When you put light there, darkness goes away. But you can make people think that you're in the darkness and that that's truth. Darkness being error, light being truth, you can make people think the truth is darkness. The truth is falsehood, but falsehood is truth. Here's the Christian Standard Bible. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light. They put darkness in the place of light and light in the place of darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. They make people believe those things. In the news, further news, you know that there's the euro, the European euro. Now what you have, and what they tried to do, they tried to unite Europe under a currency. They're trying to unite it under one language, which is English. Most of the European nations speak English. It's a kind of a demand language. But they tried to unite it under a currency. And then you have a motley, which means dissimilar, varied group of nations and peoples. Now, Germany is the strongest economy in Europe. The Germans have a work ethic. That's work, work, work. They strive to work hard. They want to do it precisely. They want to get it done. They're very vigorous in their work. On the other hand, you have other countries that are not so vigorous. You have people who have figured out that if you pay me for doing nothing, I will do nothing. And I like this welfare system. And so we have Greece that is now in trouble financially. And now we have Italy, who's on the verge of not being able to pay their debts. But they want Germany and some of the other stronger countries that have the euro to bail them out. Predictions are now that the euro will soon collapse completely and these nations will go back to their own standard of finances. We, the United States, are trying to bail out Greece. We will help if we need to bail out Italy. But that's not going to go well. I mean, you know, we're broke, too. The United States of America is borrowing probably 30 to 40 cents out of every dollar we spend. We have to borrow it from somebody else to pay it back. And whether or not these European nations hold together with the currency will be very, very interesting. They brought in too many nations into that that conglomerate. And they can't hold their own. A lot of them, you know, are financially can't hold their own. But yet, the euro is supposed to be the same value wherever you go. It's supposed to be the same value in France as it is in Italy, as it is in Greece, as it is in Hungary, as it is in, you know, Belgium, and, you know, and so on, in Germany. And yet, the economies are different. And what these and the peoples are somewhat different. They're not the same kind of people. So it's been a little bit, and the nations are different. Their governments are a little different. So that's what we have. Now, the other comment I want to make is about the Arab Spring. You know, we talk about the Arab Spring, which means that these nations are now going to so-called democracy. What's happening in Egypt? I have a client who is from Egypt. He's over here as a citizen. His mother lives in Egypt. She has come over for a visit during these holidays. And what's happening is you have the Muslim Brotherhood and other kinds of groups that are strong advocates of the Sharia law enforcement. And as he pointed out, the group in Egypt now, ascending to some power and causing a great deal of rioting, is the group that wants to bring, he said, they're just as bad as the Taliban that was in Afghanistan. They're just as bad. They want to enforce everything, yet they want power. They want the power of the nation. They want that power. And they want to enforce everything on all the women. Of course, it's, you know, the Sharia law is really slanted against women and against women's rights and for men and for men's rights. So this is what they want to do in Egypt and Syria. A lot of people don't know this, but there are two major parties, two major, you know, like we have the Democrats and the Republicans. Well, there are two major parties or religions, two major factions of the same Islam religion. One is called the Sunni, and the other is the Shiites. And often these people hate each other. They're so intolerant of each other's religion, the way it'd be like the Catholics and the Protestants. You know, in Ireland, we have the same thing. And in Christianity, the Catholics of Southern Ireland fought the Protestants of the Northern Ireland. And there was a terrible battle and lots of killing and bombings. For years and years this went on in Ireland. And now this is happening in Syria. Now, I think, I can't remember which one it goes to, but let's say that the Shiites are in charge of Syria. I think it's the Sunnis that may be in charge. But anyhow, I think the Sunnis are in charge and that they're more friendly with the Christians than the Shiites would be. Now, the Shiites would like to get in charge. Now, in Iran, it's the other way. The Shiites are in charge and the Sunnis are the have less power. So what happens in Iran, you know, or in Syria, the Shiites want more power. But if they get there, I think Assad is a Sunni, and if they get there, they're going to kill him and his family. If they get in charge, there's going to be a bloodbath in Syria. Why do you think that king doesn't want these people? Now, we think that anytime there's a democracy, okay, the majority rule. And here's what I think. This is only David Antion's thinking now. But if I were some of these Taliban right-wing Muslims, I would say, let's demand democracy. Let's demand that we be in charge if we have the majority, and let's force this. And America will always support whoever they think is the democratic side. We want more of this. We want to get rid of this Assad guy because he's got power over us. But when we take over, we'll make it a complete Muslim state. We'll put in Sharia law. We'll be like the Taliban. We'll enforce it. And we hate America even worse because they despise America. They despise our morals. In some cases, I can't blame them because America is an exporter of many immoral things. We do this regularly on television. We show it. When those people see this, they despise us. They think we're decadent. They think we are, you know, all we are, you know, we want sex and sex, sex, and that's it. It's on television. You know, alternative lifestyles are on television, everything. And no wonder they think we're decadent. So when they get in charge, they may not always be on America's side. We think it's democracy because they vote for it. But many times there are rabble-rousers there. There are people who want to get in power. And when they do, it will be, in many cases, a bloodbath. We hope not. We have to watch that. This is just my thinking. I'm thinking if I were the Taliban and I wanted to do this, this is what I would do. This is how I would approach it. Let's go everything from the point of view of rebelling against the people in charge because we want democracy. And then when we get in charge, we vote ourselves in, and then we enforce this power of the Sharia law. You know that Iran is run by Ahmadinejad is there because he pleases the head of the religion there, the Islam religion. And the minute he doesn't please that man, he's out. He's gone.